And it's a beautiful experience to see Christ.
And the season of Epiphany is, I guess it is a term to means to show or to make known.
To reveal. Yeah.
To reveal. Mm-hmm. And in the church, it's celebrated by the story of the three wise men coming from the east to see the baby Christ. And I guess this is what the season is when Kelly says to Maria, his wife, "How do you see Christ?" And she says, "I see it in the eyes of people." And I guess God makes known himself known in many different ways, and that's a very special way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking a lot about the typhoon that we just had. And
tsunami?
The tsunami, I'm sorry, you're right. And I got to thinking that, you know, it's kind of a good metaphor for all of us, because sooner or later, that tsunami, you know, we're all sitting on the beach, we're all looking out into the ocean, we think we have it made, life is good, and all of a sudden, you know, that tsunami is going to come and wash us all away. And as we're running up the street and looking over the shoulder and we see this big wave coming after us, you know, what is going to be the important thing in our lives? It's going to be just what you said, Maria. I think it's going to be the people that we've touched in our lives, and it's going to be the love and goodness that we've seen in their eyes. And I think it's really a good point. That's a great point for Epiphany. Where do you see God? You see God in the eyes of people.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that storm, you know, at the baptism of Jesus, you know, however you describe, and that's the awkward thing, is, you know, how do we know God? And so the thing we know is kind of through revealed through the life of Jesus Christ, and here this godly person, okay, God, you know, coming into the waters of the stormy waters after John the Baptist has said, you know, repent and change your direction, and so you vipers and whatever, and here Christ enters those same turmoil waters and is baptized along with just the ordinary. And to me, this experience to me is every Sunday is when I step in to church, is what I look forward to, is stepping into my baptism, and I step into the heart of Christ as I step in and I begin my preaching, because I like to preach within the center of my congregation. And it's like that epiphany. It's like I see the souls of, basically into the soul and the heart of God, and I'm surrounded by, you know, the living presence. And I think that's what the Bible is trying to illustrate and talk to us is how do we experience, not just read in some history book, but how do we see and experience God on a daily basis? And it's as simple as what Maria says, look into each other's eyes, and in that you see that reflection.
Well, Kelly, I know that you have one of the most fascinating epiphany stories that I've ever heard, and it was a hospital story. Sometime we're going to get you back on Leap to Faith to tell that story, because it really, it's something I remember. I think a lot of people would enjoy hearing it. Kelly and Maria Neesham, what church now?
Christ Lutheran Church in Aptos.
And what time do we hold services Sunday?
9:30 on Sunday, and we're close to the intersection as Freedom and Highway 1.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Folks, this is Leap to Faith. We're in Monterey tonight at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. We're joining a whole bunch of pastors and their spouses, and we're celebrating Epiphany and celebrating being together. Here we have Susan Bercolo and Joe Barnt, both Lutheran pastors. And you've been a Lutheran pastor a long time. I was talking to Joe. You've been in social ministry, right?
I've done most of my work in, I've served a number of congregations throughout the country, but I've also done a lot of work around the issue of racism.
Mm-hmm. And you've been a big city boy, and now you're in Watsonville.
That's right. I've spent the last 40 years living in the inner city, and now that Susan is pastor in Watsonville, we've come to live in Watsonville together.
Well, Susan, you just come to town, a new pastor in town. What church are you running now?
Lutheran Community Church.
Or does the church run you?
I'd like to think that God runs the church.
God runs the church.
We try to keep up.
And everybody holds on, right?
Yes, we try to keep up and make sure we know where we're going.
Well, Susan, what does this season of Epiphany mean for the church in general?
I think one of the things I really like about the season of Epiphany is part of the symbolism is light. And I know in a children's sermon last week, I was asking a young girl, I said, what she would describe as darkness in our world. And she talked about hatred. And I thought, oh, smart little girl. She knows that there are many places in this world that God's light needs to shine and to expose what is undermining God's vision for this world and this people. And also for us to be able to see the way. So I like that particular symbolism. And I also like the whole understanding that God is revealed not just to those that are right next door or right around the corner, but Epiphany is a season that reminds us that the whole world is under God's
care.
You know,
when the tsunami hit in Southeast Asia, you know, it's something we all watched from the comfort of our homes. But I don't think anybody got away with being comfortable in that situation. Mm-mm. And I think that if anything, you know, it took away the hate of you know, for one person for another, and putting us all kind of in the same basket, you know, together. Mm-hmm. That tragedy certainly had a way of doing that. You know, we looked out and we saw all the suffering and realized, mm-hmm. you know, there, but for the grace of God, go we, of course.
You connect with somebody else's humanity.
Yes.
You realize there's not much that separates you from that.
there really isn't anymore.
Yeah.
And perhaps, you know, there was a little bit of epiphany in that for me, at any rate, in realizing that those people are of different color and a different shape and live on another side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all in this together. And that, really not much separating us when it gets right down to it, is there?
That's right. That's right.
So any final words on your personal epiphany?
Actually, you were asking the question about where we've seen God, and I usually think I usually see God places where I don't expect to, and I'm always reminded. It's the question maybe is a little different for me. It's like, where should I be seeing God that I'm not? I'm always kind of, maybe it's my whole Reformation background, but I'm thinking that, you know, there's some place I'm not looking and I'm missing, and I think of, I was thinking particularly with this week with all the Southeast Asia news, is thinking of Mother Teresa, and one of the phrases she used a lot was, people asked her how she could do the work she did of helping the dying and the sick and people who were,
and
you know,
the poor and the untouchable.
Right, very difficult to deal with. And she said, well, for her it was a privilege to touch God in his distressing disguise. And that whole image of a distressing disguise, whenever I get distressed by somebody or something, I have to look really hard and say, where am I going to find the image of God here? Or what might there be here for me to see and perceive that I'm not perceiving? So that's kind of sort of one exercise I kind of hold out for myself in Epiphany is, I need to be open to those epiphanies that maybe we try to resist or aren't comfortable. They're not all comfortable,
right.
But they're ultimately very illuminating and lead us to a better place.
But Jesus promised us if we wanted to see him, we should look at those who were imprisoned, those who were hungry, those who were without clothes, those who were oppressed. And if I've ever seen Jesus, it's been the times when I was honored enough to be able to see his face in those who were being stepped on by the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. By the rest of us.
And by the rest of us.
Very good. So tell us about your church and when you're holding services so we can show up Sunday morning.
Oh, you're most welcome. Yeah, Lutheran Community Church worships at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And we have developed a bilingual, multicultural style of worship. So
how does that work?
Very interestingly.
Everything's in Spanish and English.
And English.
Right. We don't say everything in both languages. It's printed in both languages, so there's no reason to be lost. But that's a way of enjoying the gifts of both cultures. And the congregation had tried at one time to do separate services, but they found they really missed each other.
Right.
And that it was really worth the extra effort to try to be together. So part of that was their reason for calling me this last year.
So what time?
10 o'clock.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
pleasure.
Your being here.
Thank you.
Folks, Leap to Faith here. Michael Olson sitting in for Charles Friedman tonight. We're having a very special time. We're in Monterey at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, and we're celebrating Epiphany with a gathering of pastors from around the Central Coast, Lutheran pastors. This is a... here we have Herb and Grace Schmidt. So what makes Lutherans different than other Christians, Herb?
Hopefully not too much. That we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I think that's probably, and we are biblically based, and we believe in sola scriptura.
So who was this Luther guy, and what difference did he make?
I think Luther didn't start anything new. He was trying to call the church back to its early foundations. And that's the wonderful thing. In other words, that the church of his days had all kinds of problems, and he was calling the Christian community back to its roots to be faithful to Jesus Christ.
Grace, you've been a pastor's wife for a long, long time.
A long time.
What is your epiphany? Where do you see God, Grace?
Well, I've been watching a lot of television this last week, and I'm very impressed by the way people are, they're opening their hearts to the tsunami victims, and I see God moving through people to help these people who have lost so much in their lives.
People who are different than us, people who have different color.
Of all religions, yeah. A lot of different religions. But it doesn't matter now.
It doesn't matter.
In this situation, and people do respond.
Herb, you're the dean of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and we also have some pastors from the Missouri Synod. What's the difference between the ELCA and the Missouri Synod? Is it like Republicans and Democrats or something?
Oh, no. It's really crazy institutional things. You know, when Christianity became institutionalized, we have all these crazy denominations. And here in the Monterey Bay, it's wonderful that the people from the Missouri Synod and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, we work together, as should all Christians, I should say.
Yes.
And so my epiphany really has come in the last few years. Grace and I have served as volunteers in mission in Bali, in Indonesia. And there, of course, you have Hindus, Muslims, you have Buddhists. And I think my epiphany, the longer I live, is that God's face and reality is also reflected in people of other faiths. Now, it doesn't mean, I mean, I'm a Christian and I know God through Jesus. But I also want to say that there are other people from other religious traditions and backgrounds seeking God, and we can learn something from them as well as share something with them.
Well, Herb is the dean of the ELCA, of the Conference of Churches here. I guess what you would say was, why should people go to church? What are they going to find in church that they can't find outside of church?
Hopefully, they would find a community where we can share our weaknesses, our faults, be honest with each other, and drop down the masks, and realize that all of us are forgiven people of God, and God loves everyone, no matter what we have done. And that's a wonderful message, and hopefully the church, in all of its expressions, is that type of community.
Well, Grace and Herb Schmidt, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to, folks, this is Leap to Faith. We're going to take a quick break right now. Coming to you live this evening from Monterey, California, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where we're having fun with a gathering of a whole bunch of Lutheran pastors, and they're all drinking wine, but don't tell anybody. Ryan, you there? There you go. Thank you very much. Do stay tuned. We will be right back. We've got a lot of interesting people to introduce you to, so stay tuned. Quick break. Welcome back, folks. This is Leap to Faith. I am Michael Olson, sitting in for Charles Friedman tonight, and we're broadcasting live from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Monterey, California. A beautiful church sitting here, tonight it's especially beautiful because it's warm and filled with light, and pastors and their spouses and people are drinking wine and having fun. And you know what I really like about when pastors get together is they sing. Any plans to sing tonight?
You're asking the wrong people.
Folks, we have David Place, who's the interim pastor at St. Philip's in Carmel Valley, and Phil Kohlmeyer, who's the interim at Faith Lutheran in Seaside. So the significance of an interim pastor, as we were talking about during the break, is that a lot of people say that they do not like organized religion, but one of the things that organized religion can do is hold things together when there is a transition. And both of you pastors are in an interim position. You're holding things together as a church sends one pastor off to other places and then another pastor's coming in. So, David, let's start with you. What's it like being an interim pastor?
Well, it's really kind of fun. And one of the interesting things about the position I'm in is that the people did not want me to use the term interim, but use the phrase transitional, that I'm a transitional pastor. I come in and I'm going to help them transition from one pastoral ministry that was there to the coming of another pastor and to bridge the gap and help them with the ministry and help them move forward. And so it's not just filling a space of time.
Right.
It's not treading water, but they want to keep moving. They want to keep on with the ministry, and they want to move forward, and it's just a transition from one pastor to the next, and I bridge that gap.
Phil, we were talking a little bit earlier, I guess, with Herb Schmidt about the significance of a church. And, you know, so many of us are way too busy to go to church. I've got other things to do. There's football. There's, you know, whatever, golf. Lots of things to do but go to church. What do people get in church that they can't get outside of church?
I'm not sure that there's necessarily something different, but maybe something deeper. I think what you can get in a Christian fellowship, for example, that's deeper is the sense of community or even family. I grew up in Minnesota and moved to California quite a few years ago, but my kind of delight in moving to California was to see all the people from the Midwest who were now part of an extended family through their church fellowship.
I guess, you know, that would be my family's experience as well. Lived in the area for a long, long time, but really found a family in a church. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful experience and something that, you, despite all of the years, just never able to do. Epiphany, what are you going to tell your congregations about Epiphany? Phil?
Well, one of the things about Epiphany, I think, is, you know, the idea is that God is revealing himself to us. And Martin Luther made the statement that God only works in people in two ways. He breaks and he heals. And I think there's a lot of brokenness in our world today. We could obviously look at the tsunami disaster and say there's a lot of broken people, broken families in that situation. And that's where the gospel is so relevant, where it speaks words of hope and comfort to people who are broken. It gives us healing. And that's a unique contribution, I think, in terms of the depth. It's so much deeper that it's not just a quantity difference, but a qualitative difference.
David?
Well, I think Epiphany means living in the light of Christ. I've never really had, quote, an epiphany. I think it was part of the life that I lived from very early age, growing up in a rural community where the church was the center of life, and the family aspect was really true. These were your friends, but they were very much family as well. And just the truth of the gospel seemed to be lived out there, and that was the light shining, the light of the gospel shining for and carried me through my life up to this point.
Phil, where is your church, and what time are you worshiping Sunday?
Faith in Seaside, and the worship service is 10:30.
And where is it located in Seaside?
1460 Hillbay Avenue.
Okay. David?
St. Phillips is in Carmel Valley on Carmel Valley Road, and our service is at 10 a.m., and it's about 7 or 7 or 8 miles from the corner of Highway 1 and Carmel Valley Road.
That's a beautiful drive, too.
And it is a nice drive.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen, so much. Appreciate it. Folks, leap to faith. We're talking Epiphany tonight. We're talking Epiphany with a gathering of the area's Lutheran pastors. Epiphany means to make known. And, of course, in the church, the story of the three wise men coming to see the baby Jesus is used as the Epiphany story. But I guess we all have an epiphany, or either have an epiphany or looking for an epiphany. And right now we have a couple of pastors. We have Clark Brown and Mick Erickson. And Mick, you're the guy here at this beautiful Bethlehem Lutheran Church. Absolutely beautiful facility, and it's really fun to see it filled up with people having fun tonight.
You bet. We're having a great time tonight because we have... this is our yearly get-together where pastors and some of us don't always see each other very much during the year with our busy schedules, but this gives us a chance to come together, and also our wives and significant others also to spend some time together. So we're glad we had a, considering the weather that we had and the winds earlier and the rain, we have a pretty good turnout here tonight.
Absolutely. Clark, where are you from now?
St. Timothy, Monterey, just right up the street, actually, from Bethlehem.
So you guys compete here, don't you? You got you're almost next door neighbors here. So how does that work? Are one of you from the ELCA and one from the Missouri Synod?
No, that's right. You know there is a lot of temptation to compete, and I think that one thing that I remember again and again, remind myself, and that we really aren't competing, that we are in the same game. We are working together, and we actually do work together as much as we can in terms of ministry here in Monterey.
Actually, we've conducted services together. Last Lenten season, I was up at Clark's Church doing services, and he was here at Bethlehem. We were trading also with Faith and Seaside at the time. So we actually work together. We also have a confirmation program that we do together and other events as well. So I don't see it as a competition. I see it as a cooperation and as kind of a team.
Well, you know, each church, I mean, there's 17 Lutheran churches here in the Monterey Bay Area. And every one of them is different. Every one of them is like, indeed, a family. What makes that family? What gives it its character?
Well, I think, for example, Bethlehem has been here about 78 years. Started in Pacific Grove 78 years ago, and then moved, and then they built this facility in the early 60s. And I'm not sure, Clark, when was you're celebrating 50 years of ministry, aren't you, this year?
Well, we will be starting our 50th year and actually celebrating 50 years in February 2006. But yeah, I think that our congregations over the years have had a different character, and that we've, in terms of epiphany, you know, we've made Jesus known to people in our own different ways. At the same time, we've also worked together. We've helped each other. It's been a good way for us to be together on the peninsula.
Well, let me ask you both a tough question. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen an enormous amount of pain and suffering and loss in the Southeast Asia. And, you know, we're sitting here in our comfortable chairs and we're watching all of this, and yet we're not getting away with it either. We're looking at it and we're realizing that, you know, this is part of these people, though they're different and live in a different part of the world, they're part of us. Where do we see God? Where do we have an epiphany in this situation? Clark?
Well, maybe one of the... this is obviously particularly difficult. One of the pastors that I have a study on the lectionary text with was thinking about baptism, because this Sunday we'll be using text for baptism of our Lord.
So this Sunday is the first baptism of Jesus.
That's right. That's
story
right.
Of John the Baptist and Jesus.
That's right. And he said, well, when we think of the destruction that these walls of water cause, the hard thing is that one of the things we say is that in baptism we are drowned. we are drowned, and then we rise again. I mean, and when we are so close to a disaster that you that involves water like this, we say, wow, this is not just a gentle thing to be able to let go of our old ways of living in so that we can rise to new ways of living. That is the challenge, and that is an epiphany. Maybe it's not the most pleasant one, but there it is.
Well, you know, it kind of goes along with something I was remarking earlier, that in a sense, you know, the situation is a good metaphor for all of us. You know, we're all sitting here on the beach looking out at the beautiful ocean and, you know, thinking, gosh, we've got it made. But sooner or later, you know, that wall of water is going to come for us all. And, you know, as we're running up the street as fast as we can possibly go, we're looking over our shoulder at that big wall of water. What is going to be important? It's not going to be the things that we have accumulated in our lives. It's going to be the people that we've touched. And in thinking about it in that light, you know, all of the walls that separate us become insignificant. And, you know, those people, though they're different than us, you know, they're our brothers and they're our sisters.
Last week in my message, I talked about the devastation, and we kind of talked about where is God in the middle of this. And I basically said from the pulpit to my people here that I said, you know, that I had my time this week where I asked God the question, why? Even I, and sure, even as a pastor, have that. And I think that's, Epiphany is about God coming and becoming real in people's lives. And I think what's happening over there right now is that through the relief efforts and through organizations and agencies and through ministries in particular, that God is becoming more real to those people, some of those people, than ever before, in the middle of their grief, their devastation, and their loss. And I believe that's where faith really comes into play, is to be able to trust God and to know that God is there with us through the good times and the bad as well.
And there are certainly a lot of bad times in that, but a lot of good times tonight. I want to thank both of you for joining us. Mick, where's your church and what time are you worshiping Sunday?
We're close to downtown Monterey on 800 Cass Street, and we have services at 8 and 10:30. And then also we have a contemporary praise band-led worship at 5:30 on Sunday evening with a meal.
Ooh, with a meal. Clark?
We are located at on Soledad Drive, and so we're right off the Highway 1 at the Soledad Drive exit if you're coming from the north, and from the south, it's the Monterey Munris exit.
And you're so close together that people can flip a coin, right?
That's right.
All right.
Oh, and our services are at 10 also.
10 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you both so much for
Thanks,
joining
Michael.
Us tonight. You bet.
God bless.
God bless.
Thank you.
Folks, well, this is Leap to Faith. I am Michael Olson. Today we're coming to you live from Monterey, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where we're having a convocation of Lutheran pastors from the Monterey Bay Area. Joining me right now, we have Lynn and Stan Abraham from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church. You've got to come in here a little bit, Lynn. You can't be hiding out there. So what's it like being a pastor's wife, Lynn?
It's not so different than being a pastor's daughter, which I also am, so I'm kind of familiar with the life. I believe that what I do as far as my church involvement is the same thing that I would do even if I were not a pastor's wife. However, being a pastor's wife, I'm sure, means that people look to me for example and faithfulness, and I'm glad to be in that position.
And you have a daughter that's a pastor's daughter.
Yes, I have three. Well, we had three daughters.
Three daughters.
A pastor's daughter and a son. That's a pastor's son, yes.
So I've heard a lot, of course, about pastor's daughters throughout my life, but I haven't heard about a pastor's son.
Well, I guess you'd have to ask him. Our son is 25 and still finding his way in life. He's been to college and worked, and just recently he's back home with us for a while.
Good. Well, we're going to try to take a phone call right now. So, okay, go ahead. Rich in Santa Cruz, go ahead. You're on Leap to Faith. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Do we have you? Hello, hello. Ryan, is he there? Okay, thank you very much. We'll just go on without it then. Stan, you've been a pastor for how long there at Mount Calvary?
Well, at Mount Calvary in Soquel, I've been there for a little over 9 years. I've been a pastor for 32 years.
32 years. I've been asking pastors as we go along, what is it that people can get from going from becoming part of a church that they can't get from, you know, spending Sunday in the park or something like that? You know, people often express this disdain, I guess, for organized religion. But what can people get out of a church family that is hard to find elsewhere? So, Lynn, you take that.
I'll tell you what I get. I get the chance to hear over and over again the story of God's involvement in the world, and the chance to hear that I am forgiven and to be renewed so that I am prepared again for service in the world Monday through Sunday. And I don't know that there's another place where I would be able to find that. So I'm very grateful for the habit that has been cultivated in me to regularly attend worship and enjoy the fellowship of other Christians and hear the Word of God.
Can't get that from watching football?
No, but I like to watch football.
Okay. After church on Sunday.
Maybe so.
Well, Stan, what about you? Your church is really has become a kind of a focal point for the community there in Soquel, Mount Calvary. What does that mean, you know, for people? I mean, what do they get by becoming part of your church family that they can't find elsewhere?
I think you're probably talking about the caretakers that live on our property that we have taken in. They've at one time were homeless people. I think what I'm going to tie that to Epiphany.
Wonderful.
And I can maybe look at it this way. The Feast of the Epiphany is the visit of the Magi to the child Jesus. In the scriptures, it doesn't say how many there were. Traditionally, it's three, but could be more, could be less. But they brought gifts to God. And in recognition of something beyond themselves. And I think that with the death and resurrection of Christ, God bestows gifts upon us. So in a sense, there's an exchange of gifts. There's the gifts that the Magi brought. There's the gifts that then God bestows upon the human family. And as Lynn said, one of those gifts, of course, is the gift of forgiveness that we hear about each week. But I think also in terms of those who have come to live on our property and those whom we welcome, there is this gift of community, and it's a community that's a forgiving community, and that's hard to find outside of the church. And I think it's and not that it isn't there, but in the church, and this is idealistically speaking, but in the church, the gift of forgiveness is unconditional. There are no strings attached. And so people who are on the fringe, the people who feel left out from most areas of life, are welcomed. And that becomes then God's gift to them through the church. So in a sense, the church is an epiphany to the world.
Wow. Very good. Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, when do you worship? Where are you at, too?
Mount Calvary Lutheran Church is located in Soquel, just off of Park Avenue. It's 2402 Cabrillo College Drive, just about at the intersection of Park Avenue and Highway 1. I'm also pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Watsonville. And we worship there, and that's at 175 Lawrence Avenue, just off of Green Valley Road. Services at Trinity are at 8:30. Services at Mount Calvary are at 10:15.
So Sunday morning, you see Pastor Stan hot-footing it down the freeway, right?
That's right, and I managed to make it between churches and have yet to be stopped by the highway patrol.
All right. Thank you both so much. God bless.
Thank you.
All right. Folks, Leap to Faith here. Michael Olson sitting in for host Charles Friedman tonight. Leap to Faith is a product of the Lutheran churches of the Monterey Bay Area, extending all the way to Gilroy and whatnot. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we have this real cool guy from Gilroy who eats lots of garlic and has lots of fun. So do stay tuned. Leap to Faith, Michael Olson, coming to you live from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Monterey tonight. So stay tuned. We're going to have some fun.
You're tuned in to the Leap to Faith radio program. Leap to Faith is brought to you by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, by the Churches of the Monterey Bay Area Lutheran Conference, and by listeners just like you. We cordially invite you to experience the gospel lesson being discussed in today's program in Sunday's worship service. One of the principles that Martin Luther championed was that scriptures and worship need to be in the language of the neighborhood. There are 17 neighborhood Lutheran churches in the Monterey Bay Area, and some of them are in yours. For Lutheran churches near you, log on to our website at www.leaptofaith.org. If you'd like to make a donation to the Leap to Faith radio ministry, please send it to Leap to Faith, care of St. Stephen's Lutheran Church, 2500 Soquel, Santa Cruz, California, 95062. You can also make a donation by logging on to www.leaptofaith.org. Now let's go back to Leap to Faith.
Hey, folks, are you well enough? I hope so. Michael Olson here. This is Leap to Faith, and tonight we're broadcasting live from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Monterey. Leap to Faith is sponsored by the Lutheran Churches of the Monterey Bay Area and Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. In this program, we typically bring you the gospel lesson of Sunday, and we lay it on the table and talk about it. And we talk about the relevance of those gospel lessons for those of us who live in modern times. You know, we all enjoy living in nice homes and driving fast cars and eat sushi on demand. And so what relevance does a piece of text 2,000 years old have for us today? Does it mean anything? Ron Koch from Gilroy, welcome aboard. What relevance does it have, this whole notion of epiphany, for us today? You know, we're looking at a situation where a big earthquake spawned a tidal wave that destroyed the lives of 150,000 people and put millions homeless. Where do we find God in something like that, Ron?
I think a lot of times people tend to look at that, and insurance companies would say things like, well, it's an act of God, you know, and I maybe they've moved away from that a little bit now, and they call it an act of nature. But, I mean, that's the way it used to be. It's like, well, it's an act of God. God did it. It's beyond our control, so it's God's fault. And
we've been very bad. We're being punished.
Yeah. I heard something out of Kuwait where some Kuwaiti religious leader, very conservative fundamentalist Kuwaiti religious leader, was saying that this was a punishment for all of the sexual perversion and stuff like that going on in this South Asia.
I heard
it's
that.
Like, yeah, wow. So for me, I think that just the opposite is true. I think that when we have situations like this, it's God who is there first. I think it's God's heart that breaks first when His children die. It's God's spirit that's broken when she hears the cries of the grieving moms and children who don't know where their parents are, who've lost them. I think Epiphany is about God connecting with humanity, manifesting. That's what it means. It means God manifests God's self to all of humanity. The text for Sunday is Jesus' baptism. And Jesus comes to John to be baptized, and John says, hey, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? Jesus says, oh, no, let's let this happen, for this will fulfill all righteousness, and that fulfilling all righteousness, I think, is a real key phrase, because Righteousness to me is the way of God in the world. In other words, if God ran the world, this is what it would be like. So Jesus is saying, if God runs the world, God is with us. God is with us when Jesus is baptized.
God is with us in the midst of this incredible tsunami.
Yeah. God is with us because God takes our place. God, you know, Jesus doesn't need to be baptized, but he's baptized anyway. And I think in that way he fully identifies with all of humanity. I got to listen to Mother Teresa several years ago. She came to San Jose, California, and she was a speaker. And
Mother Teresa was?
Mother Teresa was, yeah. And it was really wonderful to hear her speak for about an hour. She just went on and on and on with story after story of how the ministry of her Sisters of Mercy in Calcutta was to the dying and to find the dying people and to bring them in and to clean them up and to give them some dignity before they would die. And she said that, you know, she said, I see in each dying person the face of Jesus.
It's interesting. You're the second pastor to bring Mother Teresa up tonight. And I guess if anybody could find God in the situation in the Southeast Asia, it would be Mother Teresa, because that's been her ministry.
Yeah. Another one that came to me, in fact, I wrote about it in my church newsletter, was Elie Wiesel, his account of his internment in the Nazi death camps as a young Jewish boy. He was in a death camp, and a little boy about maybe 7 or 8 years old had broken a rule, and for this rule the penalty was death. So the Nazi guards got all the prisoners out and made them witness this execution, and they hung this little boy. One of the men around Elie Wiesel at the time said, "Where is God?" And another one lifted his finger and pointed at the boy hanging from the rope and said, "There is God." Now, you could take that maybe two ways, to mean that maybe God is dead, or maybe that God is there identifying with those and close to those who die. So for me, the epiphany is that God is with us through life, through sadness, through brokenness, through heartache, through joy, through pleasure, through wonderful events in our lives, and God is there with us in some maybe not so not so pleasant events. God is with us in death as well.
Ron, one of the questions I've been asking a lot of the pastors this evening is why church? I mean, why should we? What do we get in church that we can't get by hanging out on Sunday morning and watching softball or watching football on television? Or whatever else, going to the club. What do we find in church that we don't find anywhere else?
I think what we find in church is an opportunity for real spiritual formation. We have a really neat group of parents with young children at Good Shepherd in Gilroy, and these parents are very, very concerned about the rearing of their children, as many young families are nowadays. They spend an incredible amount of money on their kids. They make sure they have the best of everything that they possibly can. A lot of times parents, you know, they just kind of neglect the spiritual formation of their children. At Good Shepherd, we have a wonderful group of moms and dads who really think that that's an important thing. And I think that that's what we're about when we gather together. We're about forming people to be God's people, to enact the way of God in the world, to know what that way is, a way of wide inclusion of all kinds of people, a way that reaches out and it touches the marginalized and the dying and the people who are discriminated against because of their race or their ethnic origin or their language. And we say that God's wide reach includes all of these people, and it includes us as well. And I think that because of that, we're able to form a community around the gifts of God's grace that we celebrate every Sunday in word that we hear from Scripture and sermon, and in sacrament, in the eating, the Eucharistic meal of bread and wine become body and blood for us is a meal that's meant for all. And if that doesn't make a political statement, that it's meant for all, rich and poor, young and old, black and white, gay and straight, I don't know what else could be a more inclusive message.
Thank you very much. Ron, where's your church and what time are your worship services?
We have one worship service on Sunday. The whole community of believers gather, and we gather at 9:30. The address is 1735 Hecker Pass Highway, Highway 152 westbound out of Gilroy, and all are welcome.
Hey, it's beautiful over there, too. Yeah. Thank you very much, Ron. Appreciate it, folks. Sleep to faith. Michael Olson sitting in for Charles Friedman. We're at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. We're talking with a whole bunch of pastors, and tonight we're going to end up here with Pastor Anton Prang and Janice Prang. And by golly, we're really happy to have Anton here tonight because he is producing this show. He's been the guy that's running into the hall and dragging people out from their dinners and their
truly dragging.
Truly dragging to Anton. Thank you so much. Gosh, you just retired. How does that feel, Janice?
We're still working on that.
You're still working on that. Okay. Well, just retired from
Faith Lutheran Seaside.
We talked with the new interim pastor.
Phil Kohlmeier.
Right.
Yes.
And you're going to be helping to build Leap to Faith, the radio ministry now. So where are we going to go?
Where are we going to go with Leap to Faith? Well, what we need to do is hear from you listeners. Anyone out there who's listening to us tonight, give us a call or
leaptofaith.org
and communicate with us. Let us know what you would like to hear in terms of what is meaningful to you with the Word of God, with Epiphany we've been talking about tonight. How does God appear to you, and where do you hear God speaking to you?
And where do you want God to be in your life?
Yes. Yes. What do you expect from God, and what do you expect from the church, which seeks to speak for God?
Well, we've been having a lot of fun here, and I've been asking a couple really mean questions. One of them is, where do we find Epiphany in this situation in Southeast Asia? Where do we find God in that terrible, terrible situation?
That's a tough one. I think that I've heard some answers that I can't agree with. Where is God in the midst of suffering? Well, in a sense, I would say that for me, God often appears in the midst of suffering, not in the evil that comes about, but in the response to that evil, in the people that step forward and comfort me in my personal grief or loss, or that offer themselves to an exceptional degree to help when I need it or when someone else needs it.
This is very true for me. I have been quite ill in the past, and I think God has sent me many, many wonderful people to help me grow, to help me get well. I think that God is sending those people to the victims that went through the tsunami. It may not be obvious for a long time, but I really think that God sends us the right people when we need them.
Thank you very much, Anton and Janice Prang, and thank you all for tuning in, Leap to Faith. See you all next Friday night.
You have been listening to Leap to Faith. Leap to Faith is brought to you by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, by the Churches of the Monterey Bay Area Lutheran Conference, and by listeners just like you. If you'd like to make a donation to this radio ministry, please send it to Leap to Faith, care of St. Stephen's Lutheran Church, 2500 Soquel, Santa Cruz, California, 95062. You can also make a donation by logging on to leaptofaith.org. We cordially invite you to experience the gospel lesson discussed in today's program in Sunday's worship service. For a church near you, log on to our website at www.leaptofaith.org.